out in the end. I know. Welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I am your host, Scott White, and I have a returning guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kristen Rills, college professor and psych aficionado.
So with Kristen, the last one we did with our friend Emily Clay, and we did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And that had a very, very tenuous connection to Dan Aykroyd. Very, very tenuous. And then you did a voiceover. You weren't on the podcast, yeah, but you did a voiceover for my Hellraiser. And that had a very, very tenuous. This project we're doing, it's the most connection to Dan. But I know I'm a huge psych fan. I know you're a huge psych fan. So I thought, it's my podcast. I can do what I want. So we're going to do an episode of Psych called Dead Bear Walking, and when we get to how it relates to Dan Aykroyd, I'll let you know. So where did you discover Psych, or do you remember?
Oh, you know, I'm sure it was, if you remember, USA used to just do all day marathons of shows. I bet it was probably in the second season before I was fully hooked into it, before I was like, okay, I'm gonna set my DVR to record this show and watch every single episode. So I don't think I was a fan from the very, very beginning, but from the near beginning.
I wasn't. I discovered this like well into the run, so I had to go back and watch all the older episodes. This is one of the few series where I was actually mad and sad that it ended. I'm not a TV guy. This might even be like the last new television show that I watched, because I'm not into all this new stuff. I don't watch any of it. But when this ended, I was sad. Now, we do have the Psych movies. They've
movies
done three of them.
I think they're supposed to do seven.
Dead Bear Walking. We open up with Lassiter is being filmed. This is a family episode because Lassiter's younger sister is a filmmaker.
Appeared out of nowhere. Where has this person been for the last five seasons? Anyhow, I also don't think she's at his wedding in later seasons, but still.
No. And episodes earlier, we met Lassiter's mother. And just the way that she act and he act, there's no way that she turned out the way she did with those two influences in her life, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
But she's a filmmaker, and she's going to film Lassiter. Episode starts off where he's trying to get everybody's attention. First of all, Lassiter, from a woman's point of view, Lassiter, attractive, unattractive?
He is attractive. I do think he's attractive. However, it took several seasons for there to be a moment where, I'm trying to remember what episode it is. It's some episode where there's a bad guy in his apartment and he has a gun like hidden in
a bowl of nuts.
Yes, a bowl of nuts. I was trying to remember what it was a bowl of, and he like pulls it out and grabs it, and there's this like whole slow-mo moment of him shooting whoever the bad guy is. And that was a moment where I was like, Lassiter is hot. But it's like, it takes a long time because he's an irritating character. Like, he's supposed to be he's the straight man in the series. So I do have much love for Lassiter now, but in early seasons, it was more the person you love to hate. So yes, he is objectively attractive.
He's being a jerk to everybody in the station because people don't believe that she's his sister.
Correct.
Because
she's so cute and she's hot and normal.
She's so cute and younger.
Yes.
Yeah, cute and normal and younger. And Lassiter lets it out that she was a mistake, which apparently she didn't know.
Can I just say how much I love horny Gus? Like, all of the little Gus comments where he just, like, wants to get with Lassiter's sister just, like, cracks my shit up. Absolutely love when Gus is trying to get with somebody.
I wish I had half of Gus's confidence. Yeah. It was just... Now, before we go on, Buzz is in this for... What do you think of the Buzz character? Buzz is, like, a minor character. He's this big goofball. Your take on the Buzz character, because we don't see him a lot in most of the episodes.
I like Buzz. I think it's good. You have to have a couple of you know, featured background players that you have some sort of relationship with, so that when there's a big moment, so like in the whatever, whichever season, I think it was either 3 or 4, the like season finale, where both Juliet and Sean's girlfriend are kidnapped, and it's the whole yin yang thing, and then he's the one that comes to pick her up from the airport. So I think all these little moments where a minor character is involved, it's a lot better if you have some kind of lasting relationship. So I think that sort of character is important, and I like him. I think he's just like a likable dude. I don't have anything negative to say about him.
Me either.
Does he end up having, at the end of the season, does he ever get a big story? Is there one where he's getting married or something?
There's a couple. He doesn't get a big story. There's one where he's getting married, and he calls this helpline, and there's a guy listening in on these helpline calls and making so he's going to kill him. Mm-hmm. And they bust in and they save that. And then there's the one where the father's son OD'd. Mm-hmm. And he goes after all the people, even the good guys that were involved in it. And Buzz got blown up. That's that scene where he gets blown up and thrown into the pool.
Opening credits. That's right.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite special opening credits for Psych? That's one thing I love about Psych. It's just like, it's such a good, the audience is in on the joke sort of thing. I love when a show has opening credits, and then they will occasionally modify it to fit whatever the episode.
I like the opening, like, I think it's from season 4, the one that has the slow motion Lassiter bullet popping up in the air when they do,
that's that moment.
And it ends with Gus dragging Sean. Mm-hmm. I think that might be my favorite. I also love it when it's the long version of the theme song. So they get a call. There's been a death at the zoo. Mm-hmm. This bear trainer has been found dead in the bear's cage. And they head over to the zoo. Now, during all this, Juliet is totally nervous in front of the camera. Whenever she's on camera, she's just totally nervous and cute through the entire episode. So she is not in her comfort zone whenever she is on camera. And then on the other hand, Lassiter is just eating it up. Yeah. He just loves being the center of attention on the camera. And they get to the zoo, and it's raining. So I think it might just have been raining that day because it had nothing to do with the plot.
Right.
I think, yes.
Oh, that's really interesting that you bring that up, because you know how I keep wanting to call him James. Sean. James Erday's character, Sean. You know how he always has his, like, psychic moments or whatever? Apparently, no one on the set ever knew what it was. It was always just written as, like, Sean's psychic inspiration. So James would improv whatever kind of silly, weird reactions and stuff. So it's cool that you say that the umbrellas weren't there, because then he's obviously having the umbrella, like the wind is catching him, pulling him to whatever. That's his inspiration for knowing that, or whatever the moment was there, whoever he thinks killed the guy at that point.
That reminds me of way back, the Three Stooges, mm-hmm. they would just write something, Curly does stooge bit. And that's all that was in the script. So the so whatever happened was just on the set right there. By the way, speaking of trivia, do you know who they offered the role of Sean to?
I do before? Not. Oh my God, please tell me. I thought I knew everything.
Matthew Perry.
You know? I can see it. I don't think he'd do better, but he's got that same kind of, like, sarcastic whatever.
So James said that Steve Franks, who created the show, it was like he wanted him, but the studio was like, we got to offer it to Matthew. And once he turns it down, it's yours. And Matthew turned it down because of money. It was USA. It wasn't a major network. Right. He just came off Friends. So once Matthew said no, it went to James.
Well, this type of show was unique at the time. They did not have, aside from Monk was first, but this one was second. They didn't have funny hour-long shows. That was not it just like it was an untested product before that time. Now there's tons of them. Now it's like whatever rules, it doesn't matter. You can do it's it can be on Netflix. One episode is 27 minutes long and the next one is 56. So inconsistent. But at this time that was a very untested you know, type of show. So I wonder if Matthew Perry, if he could go back in time, if he would have taken it. I heard he's kind of a dick. Did you know his stepdad is Keith Morrison, the murder guy?
I didn't know that.
Isn't that bananas? He was promoting his biography, Matthew Perry was, that came out, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago.
And the one where he trashed Keanu Reeves and everybody and got everybody, on his ass?
Yeah, so that doesn't mean he's kind of a dick. But apparently, but I saw the picture on the cover, the family photo, and it's him as like a teenager. And I was like, is that fucking Keith Morrison? Did a little Google, and it sure is. Bananas. I have so many animal facts that I have Googled that I cannot wait to tell you about once we get to them. But please continue guiding us through this.
Okay. They show up at the zoo, and Sean and Gus are there. Like you said, immediately Gus focuses on Lassiter's sister, and Sean is just like, what are you doing? And Sean's like, that is Lassiter's sister. I am not going to let this happen. And just Gus, once Gus gets an idea in his head, it... So they get to the bear enclosure, and there is a trainer in there, and so everybody's gathered, and apparently it looks like the bear has killed her trainer, and that's what. And then the trainer's fiance shows up and gives a little detail. We don't really get to see the trainer that much, but from what we see, he's got this long gray hair and a ponytail, and she seemed so much younger than he did.
I think I know the answer to this.
Okay.
I do. So that bear is named Aggie the Bear. I don't know this for a fact, but we could probably quickly check it. I went down a whole rabbit hole looking up this bear. This bear's trainer's name is Mark, and he's got gray hair and a ponytail. And one of the little fun facts in IMDb for this episode said that those were all real pictures of the trainer with the bear. None of them were photoshopped. So I'm putting two and two together, and I think it's the bear's actual trainer. So this the bear's name is Aggie the Bear. She's been in several movies, including The Journey Home, Arctic Air, and Alaska. There you go. These all kind of have a theme. So I watched a little Animal Planet video, and they refer to Mark as her guardian. Whatever. The fucking bear trainer. So he started training her when she was 8 weeks old, and she is very much bonded to him and sees him as like a parent figure. And apparently she gets grumpy, that's what they said, if Mark the trainer gives anyone else too much attention. So she currently lives in the Winnipeg Zoo, so she's still Aggie is still kicking it. So I would be willing to bet money that the trainer we see is her actual guardian of the polar bear, Mark.
That makes a ton of sense. With the 8 weeks part, later in the episode, we go to his house, and we see a picture of him with a baby. Yes. So
I think that's
gotta
actually
be
his actual pictures. I looked at all the IMDb stuff way before I actually went on this like little rabbit hole journey. But when we're done, I'm going to go back and look and see if it's the same guy, Mark. But he indeed has a receding hairline and a long white ponytail, so that's probably
I'm
him.
Sure it is. Don't you think if the bear saw her guardian angel lying face down, don't you think that would have upset her?
I don't know. So I'm wondering if that was like one of the tricks, because she's been in, you know, four different movies now in this television show. So I wonder if that was like some kind of training thing. Like you get a little piece of fish and then I lay down and do this. Or you get, you know, I wonder if it was. I'm sure she would be fine, because the Animal Planet video I watched, it was a little 4 minute video. It was not too long, but it was also very it was very informative. It shows him going into her like enclosure, and they're just like sitting back to back, and she is like purring. Polar bears do a thing that sounds similar to cats, where they purr, where they're very content. So he, you know, it might have just looked like he was taking a nap, but polar bears are very dangerous, y'all. It's not like the Coca-Cola commercial. I did a lot of Googling on are polar bears dangerous? And some of the things that, can I read you some of the things that come up when you just start to type, ask questions about polar bears?
Sure, go ahead.
Do polar bears get thirsty? I don't know why anybody wanted to wear that. That's the lamest one. They get better. What parts of a polar bear can you eat? And why is bear meat poisonous? There you go. Have you ever wondered why bear meat is poisonous?
I've never wanted to eat a bear.
What position would you be in where you would want to eat a bear?
If you're trapped in the woods.
I guess.
Here's the deal. If you're in a position where you have to eat a bear, whether it's poisonous or not, that's probably moot at that point.
But just so you know, just don't eat their liver and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Because the liver has too much vitamin A, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, and you can OD on it. So don't eat their liver. As good as the bear liver might look to you, Scott, don't eat it. All right, where are we now on our journey?
So Lassiter is in the cage over the body. Mm-hmm. Once again, Lassiter is...
He's figured it out.
Being Lassiter, the trainer came in, the bear attacked him, boom. And while we're looking at... Sean's looking at the blood trail... Something doesn't seem right. So Lassiter gets his sister's attention. It's like, okay, zoom in on me. I'm going to say the bear attacked the trainer. Case closed. And when that happens, Sean does the thing with the umbrella.
Yeah.
And it pulls him. He says, this bear isn't a murderer. This bear has been framed. on camera. And then we go into the opening credits. Yes. Oh, but we forgot. What we also forgot to say is at... the zoo, there was a bunch of protesters wanting to set the bear free.
That's correct.
And that's going to be important. It is. So as Lassiter calls them hippies, but there's a lot of protesters. They hate zoos. They don't think any animal should be put in captivity. So they're protesting that. We come back after the credits. Sean is doing his thing where, you know, he's talking about the blood trail and all that. And you know, we need to check things out. And Gus is, during all this, Gus is hitting on, what's her, I can't remember her name either.
I just had a moment where I was like, I have no idea.
She's got a nickname. She's got a nickname that he calls her.
Lou or something, right? Does he call her a Lou?
Yes. Lulu or something like that. Because she was a tomboy and a late bloomer. And as Gus says, better late than never.
I know. I love horny Gus, man. It gets, it's. Cracks my
and during all this, Sean is doing, Gus has hepatitis K.
Yes.
What are you doing?
He's such a cock blocker. Yeah. Oh, Sean. But Sean is ultimately probably right. All right, I have a question
for you. He is probably right.
Hot topic.
Okay.
Unless you're worried about getting canceled. What do you think of zoos? What are your thoughts on zoos? Some people really don't like zoos.
Where else would you see a polar bear?
I mean, I'm into zoos. I go to the zoo by myself as an adult human several times a year. I just wander around. But there are lots of people very anti-zoo.
As long as the animals are treated humanely, they try to recreate their natural habitat as close as possible. Where else as we as people would see these animals? Unless we went on a safari or something like that. So, I have no problem with zoos as long as it's humane and no animal is being mistreated.
If you were crazy rich, would you know how like 100 years ago, crazy rich people would just have like zoos on site? Or Michael Jackson, I guess that wasn't a long time ago. If you were crazy rich, would you have a zoo?
I don't know. I am. This is a little weird or not weird, but I have a large trouble with loss, which is one of the reasons I don't have pets. Because I always get it, like, if I got attached to all those animals, and animals have shorter lifespans, and I would have to see my friends pass away, it would, like, that would really affect me.
Yeah. It's kind of like how, don't tell me how cows are just like dogs. I don't want to hear it. Because I like a hamburger, man. I don't know, I don't want to know how smart pigs are. Because bacon is delicious.
Nope.
My goodness gracious.
So yeah, I mean I'm a traveling comedian, so I'm not home.
Not home enough. That's why I don't have a dog. Well, actually where I live now, my landlord won't let me have one, but I work in theater, so for certain stretches of the year I have crazy long hours and it's just like, who would let the dog out? Unless I got like a little
Baha Men?
Yes.
Ha ha!
Man, you're hilarious. Please get your tickets to go see Scott White. Make more hilarious jokes about the Baha Men. I'm yes, just kidding. Topical. You're very funny.
Is that why you got me banned from Boston CSC Invitational?
I did not get you banned. I don't even know how that rumor got started.
Goodness. It was Emmy.
Yes, of course it was Emmy.
We go to Woody. We go to the morgue.
Oh, yeah. I have so many questions.
Kurt Fuller, Woody. I love Woody.
He's so good. When did he start?
Usually when you enter...
Not till like season two or three, right? I don't think he was in the original.
I think it was later. It was at least three, maybe four. Oh, okay. It was later. And usually when you add a character, you know, it's called jumping the shark.
It gets weird, yeah.
But Woody, I love Woody. And Kurt Fuller, the actor who does it, he usually plays bad guys in movies. And here, he's lovable and he's weird. But he's also a competent morgue. What's the title I'm looking for here?
He's not a mortician. He's medical examiner, right? Medical examiner.
Yeah,
I think that's what he is.
Before they go in, Gus is being all macho in front of Lassiter's sister, and then once they get in and see the body, he's off in the corner.
It's because he's got that super sniffer, man.
He does, the super sniffer.
All right, so...
Apparently that Stephen Franks in real life has a super sniffer.
Awesome. What in the world, in what universe, would they just allow somebody to film a dead body in a morgue?
It was...
Like, this is my college
It was
thesis.
Probably Lassiter pulling strings.
I
would go with that.
Okay.
Getting his sister in there.
I feel like they would need permission from the family, and just, it seems like there's a lot more red tape than we're addressing.
If she was going to, this is going to be in film festivals,
yes!
And once Woody finds out, he starts changing his voice.
And then later he has a mustache.
Wow, that really is a dead body. Is it weird for you guys to be in the same room with the corpse, Gus?
Oh, I'm fine over here. With the beakers and whatnot.
Just so I can finish the paperwork, tell me the bear killed this guy.
In my professional opinion, this was definitely a bear attack.
Thank you.
Can you say that again for the camera?
Whoa, Woody, wait, don't. Isn't it possible that the bear did not kill this man?
Absolutely, sure.
What? Which is it?
Sorry, I'm a people pleaser. Young lady, what media outlet were you from again?
Oh, it's for my graduate thesis film.
Will it be entered in any festivals in the Eastern Hemisphere, specifically the Philippines?
Maybe. Oh, my God. This is going to be in festivals?
May we get on with the body, please?
Broken bones? Check. Lacerations? Check. Claw marks? Check.
What is that voice?
I'm distorting it for legal reasons.
That is a process done in editing.
Really? Dina, I always thought people did that themselves.
No.
Well, I'll be. Huh. Here's something fun. Let it be noted that the victim's larynx was crushed.
He was choked?
But polar bears have opposable thumbs now? No. And what about motive? You can't convict without motive.
I have motive. The bear went bare.
You're not helping.
Not trying to.
Stop hating on bears.
They stop first.
Okay, what? Like, Woody is such a mystery. What did he do in South Asia that he's worried about
in the Philippines?
Oh, in the Philippines.
Yes,
that he's
he did something in the Philippines. His face and his voice.
Yes,
I don't know. Woody is so weird.
I know. His voice modulation was really good. That was
it
really sounded like one of those like something that they would do in post. The way he slowed it down and lowered it.
This is just me being a tall guy. Kurt Fuller in real life is about, they say he's at about 6'5".
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. How tall are you? You are
and
a tall guy.
I'm 6'4".
I'm 5 foot. I'm a short gal.
Like James and, how do you say Gus's name?
Dulé Hill.
Dulé. I think they're around, even though they say they're like 5'11", 6'4", I think
they're
around 5'9".
Yeah, 5'9", for
yeah.
sure.
So I don't know if they're all standing on crates or
like
if
apple boxes?
Kurt Fuller is, yeah, apple boxes, because, and it's probably for the shot, it'd be a hard shot if Kurt is, like, towering over them, but they're all around the same height.
Oh, they're for sure standing on stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know what I wish I had? I wish I had, like, the box set DVDs of these, because there were I couldn't find any, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, no bloopers. I miss DVDs when you could get the commentary. Are you going to get it right now? Oh my gosh, you have to tell me. Did you watch? Did you watch it on DVD? Did it have commentary
I did.
And stuff? Were there bloopers?
They do.
Oh, I'm jealous.
There is.
Tell me everything.
Blooper reel. The blooper reels. They had deleted scenes.
Well, they're not.
Not
on
for
YouTube.
This stuff. I mean,
I was bummed. I was like, you did a show with a fucking bear. It's not CGI. They had a real bear, and I can't find a single article about it. I needed more information.
Now, it wasn't CGI, but I have, when we get to it, this episode is going to be 4 hours long.
That's fine.
I'm so sorry
you have to
I'll break
edit
it up.
This.
No. Yeah, I'll break it up into two episodes if it gets too long. Lassiter says, tell me this guy was killed by a bear. He was killed by a bear. Yeah. And Sean's like, well, couldn't he have not been killed by a bear? Absolutely. Oh, Woody. I love Woody.
Yeah, great.
And they use him just... He's not throughout the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Woody... To me, Woody is like Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock.
Yes.
Where they
the
just use him
man.
Enough.
Yeah.
If you use him too much, it's not going to mm-hmm. work. But they use him just enough.
Where and, was Corbin Burns in this episode? Do you think... Did all of his scenes just get deleted? There was no flashback to Sean as a kid. There was no checking in with Dad. Did they just have too much? What do you think happened to him this episode?
I don't know. He might have been on another project. Because usually in situations, we'll get to it, but Sean steals the bear. Mm-hmm. And usually in situations like that, they take the... Well, they did
they
take
did
the bear
take
to,
him
his,
to his
No,
house.
Kirby!
They showed him...
He's in this episode.
They showed him at the very end when they did the little documentary stuff, but I don't remember
no.
him in any scenes. All right.
Remember when Sean's at his house and he calls the station and it's like, Dad, where's that big fish that you caught?
Oh.
So he is in it, but okay. he's only in it for a short amount of time.
Okay. I just
so.
Don't remember any significant scenes with him, which there usually
No, it's not
are.
A significant
yeah.
scene.
That's Yeah, because I wanted yes. to see how Dad would react to this bear in his backyard. Sad. Oh, well.
Well, they have to go back to the zoo.
Yes.
Because the bear has escaped.
Yes, because Woody and... watches the local news that advertises bear escapes.
Yes.
And Juliet sees it. Oh. Yes. So yeah. They get there and the guy has the lemur on his shoulder because the lemur is depressed, according to the zookeeper guy. Did some Googling.
Acting out.
Yeah, did some Googling.
One-on-one time.
There's no evidence that lemurs get depressed. And it actually said that there's a whole website dedicated to having lemurs. Lemurs are inappropriate pets because it makes them mean and they're aggressive towards humans. So... I don't think that lemur was depressed. I think that guy just liked lemurs.
But there was, while they're talking about the escape, the lemur and Gus are having eye contact. Mm-hmm. So Gus is... Dulay Hill, he came from West Wing.
Right.
A very prestigious drama. And I give him so much credit for just being... After coming off of a series so serious like that, just being so silly.
Yes, and he's so charming, and he's good at tap dancing, which puts him
yes.
number one in my heart, because I love tap dancing.
The fact that the chemistry between James Rodriguez now, yeah. James Rodriguez Rodriguez, and Dulay Hill, that's got to be like a million to one,
yeah.
that those two come in, and the chemistry is so flawless. It's not like they were a comedy team that came up mm-hmm. through, like Cheech and Chong or Abbott and Costello, where they worked their way up. They met on the set, and according to everybody, do you listen to the podcast? It's a psych podcast by Juliet and Lassiter.
I listened to the first few episodes and then I stopped listening. I didn't think it was very good. I didn't think it was very well like researched or produced. Like, they're very charming, but I only enjoyed it when they would have other guests that were awesome.
Other guests from the show.
From the show. It's like, oh, I love you in real life, but I don't think you're a great podcast host.
Apparently James Rodet did improv on, everybody was pissed at him
yeah.
during their auditions because he would do Dulay Hill, and Timothy said that they were just pissed that he would go off book. And all of them thought that he was trying to screw with them with their auditions. But just the fact that they had never met before this, and they come together, and the chemistry between those two is just amazing.
Well, I think that's just a testament to the success of the show overall, is these people genuinely like each other and enjoyed working with each other and continue to agree to do these movies. Like, they wouldn't do that. They're not contractually obligated at this point.
No.
Dulé Hill does not want for a job. He's working like crazy.
No.
But the fact that he's like, yeah, I'll come back and do a show every, 18 months, or a movie every 18 months, work for 3 or 4 weeks on it. Hell yeah. And they're good and they're funny. And I like that we get to continue to revisit these characters and see what they're up to.
Well, the fact that we were talking about the podcast, even they have no obligation to be on this podcast. They do it because they love each other. So, and then when you look back and you see, like, I'm a huge Monkees fan.
Yeah.
And now it comes out that Mike and Peter didn't like each other, and Mike and Davey didn't like each other.
Manufactured band? Was there some producer that they put
were
them together? Okay,
a producer put them together. Unlike Dulé and James, there was a lot of friction between them through this whole thing. They find out that the bear was their biggest attraction, and Sean does that. And I love the way when he sees a clue and it, you get the sound effect especially when he sees like 3 or 4 in a row. He realizes that the hippies have kidnapped him, has kidnapped the bear, and he is going to go after him. But Gus does not want to have anything to do with bears.
Because polar bears are
dangerous, y'all.
They will eat you.
You know, it's not dangerous. Bunnies.
Yeah,
and that's where he goes. He goes, you're going to pet the bunnies. And he's like, that's none of your business. And when Gus gets street, that's funny too.
Know.
Where you going? Mind your business. Why are you talking like that? Because I'm from the street, Sean.
Oh, he's a treasure. I love the history of the two of them and how they grew up together. But then, Sean doesn't really go to college. And then Dulé goes to a historically black college. So he's got all of his black friends, and then Sean is his one weirdo white friend. Like those episodes where he gets back together with his old band and it's Boys to Men. Oh my God, it's so good. So good. If you are listening to this and you don't
Black Acapella.
Yes. Yes. And Sean just wants to be in the group so bad and they won't let him. God, Psych is a good show. All right, where were we?
It is. So Sean tracks the head hippie down at a restaurant. And this character's name is McLeod something or other.
Yeah.
In this episode, we get Sean comes off weird, and there's this two type of character. One that just rolls with Sean, whatever he says, and then the other one who's like, what the hell is wrong with you? And this guy just rolls with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And he convinces the hippie to take him to the bear. He's like, I can help the bear. Because now, what we haven't mentioned is the bear is set to be euthanized, which I don't understand. Why would that? It was.
Yeah, I don't either. If it's a bear that's in captivity, I know they do that with bears that are in the wild because it's it's a threat to society. But what are the chances that it would? I think I need to know more about how they feed animals in the zoo. I was under the impression there was very little actual contact with humans when it's a big carnivorous animal. They train it to go in a little pen and then they lock it up and then the trainers come out. Whereas in this episode, they made it look like the bear ripped open the fence from its enclosure. So yeah, I'm also not sure why they would murder the bear. Oh, for the plot. That's why. I guess.
For the plot. Now that the bear is out, I could see them.
Yeah, if it was, now it's just roaming the streets of Santa Barbara.
So they take it back to the psych office where Gus is there. He's having a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah, which looks
and
delicious.
I was surprised. It was It does, and cocoa, and it's an actual, usually you get cereal.
And then it had Honey Bunches of Oats behind it.
Bunches of Oats right behind it, yes!
I had the same thought. I was like, oh, brand name cereal. They either had a partnership with them or thought that they weren't popular enough and nobody would notice.
So this is shot in Canada. Mm-hmm. It's set in Santa Barbara, but it's shot in Canada. And in every episode where they always have these glass bottles of milk. Mm-hmm. Instead of, because they don't, in Canada, they don't have the gallon jug.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It either comes in a bottle or a cardboard box or a bag, but in Canada, they do not have the gallon jug of milk.
All right, good to know.
Or the half gallon jug. He walks in and he sees this bear in their office. And the hippie and Sean have this wire around it. He's like, don't worry, Gus. It's electronic field. The bear is trained not to go past it. And then the hippie goes, well, it's not really an electronic field. We're just using it here to trick the bear. And Gus jumps into the other room.
Dives
and
Sean's through like, the window. So good.
And Sean is like, why? Why would you say that? And then the hippie goes off on the trainer. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, imprisoning this bear, I'm glad he's dead. So they think, oh no, the hippie killed the trainer.
Right.
Might have killed him. And they have to take the bear out for some reason. They attach a trailer to the blueberry. Mm-hmm. The blueberry is Gus's car. It's his work car. They're taking this bear around in this trailer attached to the blueberry. And while all this is happening, we cut back to Lassiter. Mm-hmm. And Lassiter is doing his Tommy Lee Jones impression from The Fugitive. I want to never... And they go to a drive-through and they order like 500 fish sandwiches, no buns.
128 fish sandwiches. Are you ready for some math and some more polar bear facts? All right.
You know what makes a good podcast? Math and polar bear facts.
Fuck yes. Okay, so I would find this very interesting, and I did. So polar bears are 500 pounds on average, and they can eat up to 100 pounds a day. But they need to eat at least 4.5 pounds of fat per day. So I was like, 128 fish sandwiches. Would that be enough food for a polar bear for a day? So I did the math. I looked up, I used Filet-O-Fish sandwiches because whatever restaurant they're at is a fake made up restaurant. So each Filet-O-Fish sandwich has 19 grams of fat in it. So if they had 128, that would be 2,432 grams of fat, which is 5.1 grams or pounds of fat, which means this polar bear got enough to eat that one day. But shit, that's a lot of money.
I used to work at McDonald's. The fish sandwich was the worst thing for you on the menu.
Yeah.
I love the fish sandwich, but it's like
too.
The Big Mac.
I haven't had
Big
one
Mac.
In years, but oh, it's good.
I haven't had one in years, but I love the fish sandwich. But it is the technically the worst thing on the menu, you know, body-wise, yeah. what it would do to you. We're at Sean's dad's house, and this is the scene where we see, because Sean calls his dad at the station, and he's like, where's that big salmon that you caught that you say would take 3 months to eat? So they're looking to feed the bear.
But they already got him 128 fish sandwiches, man. I guess that maybe that was for later meals. I guess so.
Okay. Maybe.
Later meals.
But Juliet shows up. So Juliet puts it together that Sean has taken the bear.
Right.
And so at this point in the series, they are dating.
Correct.
They are a couple at this point in the series.
And in real life.
Oh, they were. I did not know that.
You didn't know that? Oh, my God.
I did
God.
Not know that.
Do you want all the dish? They totally started dating, I think, by the end of season one. They were together for most of the run of the show. This is very much like them in real life. He didn't want kids, and she did. So they broke up. Then she got married, had a couple of children, and then got divorced a few years ago. And I don't know, but I feel like they're going to get back together at some point. You didn't know they were together in real life?
I didn't.
Oh, crazy.
And they're stepkids, so they're not like his real, you know, he doesn't have to treat him well at all.
He can continue to be exactly like Sean Spencer, because I think that's probably most of James.
I did not. We're giving each other facts here on Psych. I like that.
Yeah, I was so sad when they broke up, but now she's got her two kiddos.
The last girl I was dating, I had to break up with because she wanted to have kids and I didn't. So it's a thing.
It happens.
Not to get too personal, you and your husband, mm-hmm. how long have you been married?
16 years.
And no kids, so that was, I take it that was no just kids. Both of you?
Yeah.
That's a decision you both made?
Yeah.
That's great when you find something that just takes one problem out of the equation, so that's fantastic. But you're a teacher, so you sort of screwed yourself there.
Well, I remember when I was much younger and I was teaching, I was like, I honestly don't know how my coworkers that have children can possibly do this. Like, I don't know how you can deal with these kids all fucking day and then go home to your actual kids. I can't imagine it. Like, I'm sure I could do it because I'm an amazing human. But I also like, just like, don't. Oh, they must be so tired. Must be so tired. Oh, God bless you people that have children and teach in the public school system. You are the real superheroes.
Our friend Emily Clay.
Oh, she and I booked a trip today. We're going to go to Universal Studios in like a month and a half. Just the two of us. And I'm really excited.
I asked her to be on this podcast, but she is actually traveling today. She's
coming back from New Mexico. I don't know. She's been so busy this summer because she's been doing all those brain science training things because she's the best teacher in the world. Wait, how long are your episodes usually?
They're between an hour and an hour and a half.
Okay, so I'm not being totally ridiculous with all of my tangents.
No. Okay. Sean convinces Juliet, just look at the bear before. Now, so here's something that the bear is in Henry's backyard, Sean's dad's backyard. And during the scene, the bear growls, I swear I saw its breath.
I did too. I also noticed that, but it's because they're in Canada. I bet it was just fucking cold outside.
I thought, was this filmed someplace else? Because you said,
don't think it was.
Like, I don't think it was. So I saw its breath, and I'm like, okay. And it was raining. It must have been rainy and cold in mm-hmm. Canada that day.
I think that's just what it was. I think it's because they film in Canada, and I guess it was just, you know, a chilly, humid day. Because I did Google. I was trying to find like backstage, what do you call it? Whatever you call it, photos that are not from the actual show. And there were pictures of like Dooley and James posing with the bear in different locations. So they actually filmed them there. But I 1000% also saw the bear's breath. But that's the conclusion I drew. I was like, it was just in Canada and it was probably much colder than sunny Santa Barbara.
Is the chief in this episode?
Just for like a second. I'm betting this original episode was just like super long and they cut a bunch of scenes.
It must have been, because this sounds weird, but usually in the episode, if the opening theme is the shorter version, the ending theme is the longer version. In this episode, the opening theme is the shorter version and the ending theme is the shorter version. So it was probably, it just ran over and they were just cutting.
Yeah, I don't think the psych podcast that Juliet and Lassiter do, I don't think, there's no way that they're on season 5 yet, or I would have listened to that. Because I was also very curious. I was like, this just seems a lot different. So it could have been something where they wanted to use all of the bear footage. It had to be something with the cutting room floor, and it just became a slightly different story in editing, because it did seem that most of the secondary characters were just in it a lot less. Even Juliet seems like she was barely in the episode.
Have we missed it when Sean and Gus have gone to the trainer's house? Did we miss it?
We've gotten there yet. I think that's after so they shoot the bear, and I think that's
they shoot the bear with a tranquilizer. Yeah.
Which works immediately. Don't worry, I didn't look up tranquilizer science, but I was very curious. I'm sure they just trained the bear to flop over, because it looked it looked like something really hit him. So I don't know what they did, but the bear flops over immediately. And I don't think that's the case. I think it like probably takes a little while. I don't know. Have you ever?
I'm sure. Yeah, a 500-pound bear. Yeah. I'm sure it did. Yeah, one dart.
Yeah. So then they go. I think they go to the trainer's house after that, And, you know, get on each other's shoulders and start looking through the windows and
yes,
stuff.
And they're looking in. They go to the neighbor's house, and Gus leans against some roses and he cuts his arm. Mm-hmm. That's going to be important later. When I was listening, I listened to a couple of the episodes of podcast. I listened to the one with James on there. And he said one of the few problems with Psych is that they didn't give the audience enough information to solve the crime.
To figure it out themselves, yeah.
Yes. And because when we go to the house, we see this fence, and that means nothing to us.
Right.
But we were giving no...
There's no context.
There's no context. And this fence is the reason for the episode. Mm-hmm. But we're not given any context until at the end of the show when it's too late.
Would that be satisfying though? Like, would I want to watch a show where I could figure everything out? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some people would be like that. But James said it's like a couple episodes, we just give the audience nothing. Mm-hmm. That's why they have the long exposition dump at the end of how it was all done. And now we go to, so the bear is in a cage, and it's Sean and Gus and the hippie, and they're all watching this bear, and Gus and the hippie start crying. And at this point, they think, the guy with the lemur on his shoulder, mm-hmm. when they are at the trainer's house, they find a bear
life insurance policy.
And they're like, the bear is more valuable to them dead than alive. So they think, okay, it's this, what was he, the curator of the zoo? Anyway.
Yeah,
the curator of the zoo.
I don't know.
The head zoo guy. Mm-hmm. He's killed the bear to get the $2 million. So first they suspected the hippie. Now they suspect this guy, the head zoo guy. But then the hippie says, I looked into that too. That means nothing. It's only if the bear dies of natural causes. If the bear is put down, they get no money. So now they've lost two of their suspects. But they do notice around the bear's neck that it has a heart monitor. Mm-hmm. Because the bear had a heart murmur, so they were...
Because it ate those fish sandwiches.
You would too, yes.
Coronary artery disease. Dude, I want a filet
fish. It's got blockage.
So bad. I miss living in the South where they would like, it's Lent, so the fish filets are super cheap at McDonald's. Ugh. Mm. So good. Such a good, disgusting sandwich. Little square fish.
With a rectangular piece of cheese.
It's like underneath it.
Not even a full piece of cheese. I worked at McDonald's. We had to fold the cheese in half and put a half a slice on each one. Like people would come in and they would request, and they want a fish sandwich with a full piece of cheese.
Can we do a tiny McDonald's tangent? Okay, so you worked at McDonald's. How many years ago did you work at McDonald's?
Oh, 30, 35 years ago.
So, and when's the last time you had McDonald's?
God. I can't remember. It's been at least 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So you might not have an answer to this, but do you think McDonald's is worse now than it was when you worked there?
You mean food-wise?
Yeah, food-wise.
I would think so, because it seems like everything is much more automated now, and like we back there are searing it, and it just...
So it...
Now, and plus, they as an employee, mm-hmm. when I would make my own food, I would just like... I would get like 2 or 3 slices of cheese on the fish sandwich and load it up with a tartar sauce. And
So I guess they do this thing at McDonald's, and I'm sure other places do it as well, where they will, to save money, they will use a lesser quantity or lesser quality ingredient, but they will taste test it in these markets with these focus groups, and they will see which one they can get away with without the people noticing a difference. But the theory is that they have now done it so many times that were you to compare like the original quality hamburger to the one we have now, that it's very different and not very good. So I think, I'm really curious. I would like to have a burger from the 60s and see what it tastes like. I'm sure it just tastes like a Shake Shack burger, which is fucking delicious. I do love a double cheeseburger from McDonald's.
Like, fast food used to be cheap. Mm-hmm. And that's, and people would say, sure, it's unhealthy, but if you're not making a lot of money mm-hmm. and you had to feed your family, McDonald's was an option. Now, it's fast food is just as expensive as going out to a restaurant.
Yeah. The day that I go into McDonald's and they flip an iPad around and ask me to give them a tip, I'm out. That's when I'm out.
Oh, okay. I had, yes, I had one about a year ago. I went to McDonald's because I was on the road and there was a McDonald's right next to my hotel. And I remember that because I ordered a quarter pounder meal and it was $14.
Yes, it's so expensive. Wait, so Scott, what's your favorite?
The fries still hold up. The fries are good.
Good.
Yeah.
What's your go-to on the road meal? Because you must do it so often that you've got like a plan now.
When I leave my house, I'll pack a road mm-hmm. lunch. But on the road, it's like usually, and this is terrible, I'll grab a sandwich and a Slim Jim and some chips from the gas station. It's just easier and I don't have to wait in line. You know, I ring this up and then give me 20 on pump two.
Yeah.
And it's just quicker and more easier to do that. So I don't usually hit fast food places. I will hit gas stations. I'll just get something to eat while I'm there. Where are we? heart monitor.
Heart monitor.
Yes.
Heart
so they're
monitor
like,
on
okay.
The bear. You're
heart monitor
so,
on the bear.
Can you please edit this to make me sound smarter?
So they call in, and here's where we see Corbin again. Mm-hmm. Corbin Bernstein brings in Michael Gross of, I was going to say Growing Pains. That's not right. Family Ties. And he is this judge. He's the one who gave the order to put the bear down, and Sean is trying to convince him that they have new evidence, so they shouldn't put the bear down.
All right, Sean. This is Cody Blair, Ventura County Director of Animal Control. You better have something substantial for him. He's traveled a long way for this.
Thank you. Coming, Mr. Blair. Please, sir. Let me start by saying that this is a huge honor for me.
Cut the crap, son. I understand you're asking for a stay of execution, as you put it, for a polar bear. This is highly unorthodox.
I can assure you, you will not feel that way after I prove to you that this bear did not kill its trainer. You can enter that onto the record.
Spencer, this isn't a courtroom. There are no records.
Permission to treat this man as a hostile witness?
No.
Quick sidebar?
Absolutely no.
Should we poll the jury?
Negative.
May I try on your robe, Judge?
If you'll excuse me.
Whoa, wait. I have testimony from a key witness in the form of video footage, if you would just indulge me for a few more moments. This footage is actually courtesy of Miss Lauren Lassiter.
You're helping him now?
Here we go.
Oh, no, I'm absolutely sure. Though the results were previously inconclusive, I can now establish the time of death of the trainer to be between 11:30 p.m. and 3:30 a.m.
Why is this relevant?
I am so glad that you asked. I would like to present these papers as Exhibit A.
No exhibits here. Stop saying that. What are they?
Those are EKG readouts of the bear's vitals.
What do they say, Mr. Spencer?
I couldn't tell you, sir. Bunch of squiggly lines to me. But. I have an expert witness. I present Gus J. Gupta.
Yeah, what makes him an expert?
I work in the medical field.
Oh, you're a doctor.
I go to Gus J. for all my medical needs and procedures. He removed both of my appendixes. Now, tell us what the results are from the hours of 11:30 p.m. to 3:30 a.m. on the night of the murder.
It is a sleeping heart rate. Inactive.
What? Inactive? You mean it is not the heart rate of a mammal murdering its lifelong caretaker?
Not unless that mammal was sleepwalking, no.
Well, in that case, the defense rests. Whew, literally, I am exhausted.
This is a short little scene, but Michael Gross plays it perfectly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He is just irritated enough with Sean, but he also listening to what he has to say.
But is he only listening because he's being recorded? That's what I think. I think it's only because she's there, which is such an interesting dynamic. I think he's only because he starts to be much meaner, I feel like, and then sees the camera and is like, okay, maybe don't murder the bear if you have evidence. I guess this is going to bite me in the ass.
He grants the stay of execution because Sean keeps using, Sean does this thing where he uses court lingo and he's like, this is not a court, but he gets the judge to do it. So he gets the bear 12 extra hours.
So I haven't seen Dead Man Walking in a long time. I wonder how many like tropes there are from that specific movie in this, or I wonder how closely it parallels, because Psych is pretty famous for parodying.
Yes, certain. I've actually never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Oh my goodness, how dare you! It takes place in Louisiana.
I've seen clips of it.
Is that it's a true story? Yes. Right. That's the Susan.
It is
Sarandon
a true story.
One, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Which they do reference in this episode. Mm-hmm. We cut to Lassiter goes to the... He goes to get the evidence. He goes to the evidence locker. Mm-hmm. And his sister is filming him. Oh, but during the scene, this is where we find... Where Woody...
Oh, yeah, the heart
Woody
locker.
Is on...
Oh, no, yes. The TV first. Or with the mustache.
Yes, first, Woody's on the TV with a mustache on. And they've determined... And Woody has determined that the murder took place between 11:30 and 3:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And then they have the heart monitor saying that the bear was asleep during that time.
Because
so
Gus,
the bear
being
couldn't...
a pharmaceutical sales rep, can obviously read an EKG yes. accurately. So silly. So silly. That's fine. I'll buy it. Gus is smart.
And I've said this before. We did a psych podcast before. I hate people like Sean who just fly by the seat of their pants and everything works out for them. It's like
doesn't
that is totally opposite
so
of
mad?
My life.
I know.
It makes me so mad.
Enraged.
I was. Ugh. It does, enraged. It was. I was listening to the sports podcast and they were talking about this football team. And the sports announcer says, this team does everything right, and they always seem to get screwed. And that's how I feel my life is. And Sean is the exact opposite. It's like he does everything off the cuff, seat of his pants, and everything. Not only do things work out fine, he usually gets rewarded in the end.
Yeah. Oh, James Roday. Punch him in his cute face. All right, where are we
so,
now? So we've got.
We're at
couldn't
the.
Have done it
we're at the evidence.
EKG.
So Lassiter. So his sister is like getting bored with Lassiter because he's you know paperwork and that's not a movie. And while this is happening, they've gone back to the trainer's house and they're talking to the neighbor.
Yes.
And the Sean makes a couple of jokes. That the neighbor looks like Seth Rogen.
Yes.
And so he makes a couple of Seth Rogen jokes. And then the neighbor lets it slip that he thinks there was another woman because
right.
the fiance and the trainer argued that night. And Sean goes, he had another woman, a big 500-pound woman. And Gus is like, he's a chubby chaser? In male lingo, would a woman be attracted to a man with a dad bod? Is that the equivalent of a chubby chaser with...
I guess.
What would be the female equivalent of a chubby chaser?
Yeah. You know, okay, so I think the female equivalent, I guess, would be dad bod. But hilariously enough, in the gay community, it would be a bear.
Mm. It would be a bear!
Yeah!
Boom, boom!
Have you ever looked up on the, like, animal chart, like the gay lingo animal chart, what you are specifically?
No.
Yeah, I don't know either. My husband's an otter. That's weird. You should cut that out.
No, that's good. Make sure he listens to this too.
He's gonna listen to this and be like, "What the fuck, Kristen?" I'll be like, "I don't know, man. I have no filter." Oh God.
So these things are happening simultaneously. Lassiter finds something in the box, and you see a light bulb goes off, and then they find out that the fiancé was jealous of the bear.
Mm-hmm.
So now Sean and Gus think, okay, the fiancé did it because she was jealous of the bear. And they both go to the fiancé's house. Sean and Gus are there with Lassiter's sister, but Lassiter has beaten them there.
Yeah.
And he's cocky Lassiter at this time because he's beaten them to
mm-hmm.
the fiancé's house. And then they go back to the interrogation room. Lassiter's interrogating the fiance, and he keeps messing up his lines. They keep doing it over because his sister is filming him through the one-way glass. And for some reason, Juliet's in there. And I thought this scene just—I thought this
was just, that shot was so good.
It was, and Lassiter's like pacing back and forth, and you see Juliet in the corner, and Lassiter's like, "What are you doing here?" She's like, "I don't know."
I don't know. Just like that ridiculous, that stupid smile she has on her face. It was so good. That moment was really good.
Oh. Lassiter, in his box of clues, found a bloody shirt, mm-hmm. a bloody female shirt, and he's like, "Okay, so what happened was you got in a fight with your fiance. You killed him, and then you dumped the body." And then Sean and Gus are like, "How could this tiny woman dump this big guy right. in a pit?" And then Sean does this thing where he sees the cuts on Gus's arm where he brushed against the roses. He puts it together. It was just a gardening accident. It was her blood on her shirt, and it was just a gardening accident. Lassiter looks stupid in front of his sister.
Yeah, again.
Again. And at this point, Sean and Gus, they're going to make it right by the end of the episode, but at this point, they're piling on Lassiter.
They're being dicks. Here, I have a morbid, gross question. I'm pretty sure if you threw a dead body in with a polar bear, I think the bear would eat it, right?
Yes.
The bear would eat it. I mean, too gross.
Unless...
Too gross for psych, definitely. But I think it would eat it.
Unless it was like... The bear knew it was its trainer, and it didn't, you know.
Guardian.
But I don't, excuse I'm not going to.
It was his guardian.
It was guardian. And like, I don't know anything. All I know is bear, stay away from bears.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am not even going to attempt to say what a bear would do with a body
and
in there.
There are polar bears that have not only eaten humans, but have hunted and eaten them. Like, sometimes it's just like wrong place, wrong time. I've read a lot about polar bears in the last couple of days, you guys. I did so much homework.
We're sitting in the police station, and Lassiter's sister is just erasing all this footage of Lassiter fucking up. And she's like, "Oh, this wasn't the... This wasn't the guy that I grew up with." Mm-hmm. And then Sean and Gus start feeling sort of bad for her and Lassiter. And then Sean has a vision, and he wants to go. He's like, "Gus, come with me. I figured something out." And Gus is like, "No." So, because this is where Gus is going to make his move.
Yeah.
Because all throughout this episode, he's been dropping hints with the sister. At first, I think the sister was a bit apprehensive, but through the episode, you can see that she has started digging Gus as well. Mm-hmm. At one point, he sniffs her, and Lassiter is like, and Lassiter has figured it out too. He's like, "Are you sniffing my sister?"
But just the moment where he's leaning in to her, and then she turns into Lassiter, but still with the sister's voice, and he freaks out. That moment's good. That's kind of a trope. At this point, I don't know if it was 15 years ago when this episode came out, but I thoroughly enjoy when they do the, like, it's like the Bugs Bunny thing where you're on a stranded island and your friend that's pacing back and forth turns into a roast chicken.
Yeah.
So just like them turning into that person but still having the human's or the other character's voice, I find very
every trope has to start somewhere. Somebody out there did the first airline food joke. Somebody did it first, and so tropes can't start without doing it first. And Sean rushes to the box of clues, and he pulls out a picture, and it's of the fence.
The fence, yeah.
So now they're all back at the trainer's house, and the neighbor is outside, and Sean is doing his thing, but instead of solving the crime, he starts giving Lassie hints.
Right, correct.
He fumbles. He's figured it out, but he wants Lassie to figure it out in front of his sister.
Yeah.
And he passes the baton to Lassie, and Lassie figures it out. And here is why this is on the Dan Aykroyd podcast.
That's right.
This is why this is on the Dan Aykroyd podcast. It was a neighbor dispute. And Sean goes, "It's just like Belushi and Aykroyd in that movie." Lassiter goes, "Trading Places." And Sean goes, "No." And Lassiter goes, "I gave it a shot." And that's it. That is the only reason why this is on the Dan Aykroyd podcast. Because they brought up the movie Neighbors and Trading Places, both movies that Dan Aykroyd was in.
"This fence was moved. I'm also getting Judy Scheinlin. It was a case, small. And then everything gets fuzzy. Case, Judge Judy...
I'm sorry, line, please.
What the hell's wrong with him?
It's hard to remember your lines.
Nobody has any lines.
But nobody's on book? Lauren? Yeah. I'm sorry, you guys. This never happens to me. I swear. All right, Fence. What do we know? Fence, case. There was a case. The fence was part of the case. No one remembers this?
Holy crap. I know exactly what happened here. I solved this.
You did?
Yeah, it's all in the evidence. I'll take it from here, Spencer.
Thanks, Lassie.
Thank you, buddy. Ready? Say what you will about animals. They're filthy. They're inferior to man. But the one thing they have over the human species, animals are not petty. Humans, on the other hand, we just can't help ourselves. This whole case came down to a good old-fashioned dispute between two neighbors. A small claims case was filed against Jasper Zane by you, Rich Renault. It was the top document of my neatly stacked box of evidence. Must have put it there subconsciously. Let me tell you what happened here, Rich. You sued your neighbor over your property line divided by this fence, which used to be here. And you moved here. You murdered your neighbor over 2 feet. You're at war with each other.
Like Belushi and Aykroyd.
Yes, in trading places.
Neighbors.
I gave it a shot. Know the feeling.
You know,
that's the only reason.
I originally was like, I'm going to come up with a bunch of other ways that it's similar, and I'm going to name them off while we record this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start with Dan Aykroyd is Canadian, and this is filmed in Canada. And then that's where it ended. I was like, surely I can find a bunch of other facts, but they would have been.
Dan Aykroyd also studied to be in law enforcement.
Oh, and there you yes. go. I don't think I knew that. That's so cool.
He did. He wanted to be a mortician and a police officer before he became. But that's it. That's why we're doing it, because they mentioned the movie. And it's odd that they mentioned Neighbors, which is, do you know anything about the movie Neighbors?
I'm pretty sure I saw it a very long time ago.
It was the last movie Belushi made before he died. It's one of those movies where the making of the movie and what happened behind the scenes is much more interesting than the movie itself.
Movie. Okay.
Yes. Because at that point, Belushi was just out of his mind on coke.
Right.
And him and Aykroyd were just like, they weren't getting along. The director directed Rocky. They were going back and forth. And at one point, Dan and Belushi were thinking of hiring a hitman to kill the director. That's how bad things were going on this film.
That is insane.
What yeah.
a crazy time. When just, like, everybody was on coke.
Oh, early 80s? Yeah. So what happened was, it was a property dispute where the neighbor moved the fence mm-hmm. 2 feet. And they got into it. And the neighbor strangled the bear trainer.
Yeah.
And as Lasseter said, you killed a man over 2 feet. Once again, we could have never figured. We had no idea about any of this.
No.
We could never have figured this out on our own. He tells Juliet to cuff him,
and
she fumbles with the handcuffs, and let's forget it, for the love of God.
It's so good. I love how awkward Juliet is in this episode.
Yes, it's fun to see her this, because Juliet is usually...
She's a badass.
She's a badass. She's usually the strongest character. Mm-hmm. I think we discussed this in our last psych. She is not a damsel in distress mm-hmm. at all. She is... She can take care of herself, but she's also very feminine at the same mm-hmm. time. She's like the whole package as a television character. So just to see her a little bit out of her element is fun in this episode.
It is very fun. Where was the pineapple?
I don't know.
The pineapple in this episode.
I didn't catch the pineapple.
Twice. Oh, all right. I'll have to go. Look it up.
Was it at the restaurant? Because it was a vegetarian restaurant.
Probably. There was probably a pineapple there somewhere. Yeah, I just, like, I was taking notes and stuff, so I didn't always have my eyes on the screen. And I missed the pineapple. For those of you who don't know, there is a hidden pineapple in every... Sometimes it's not hidden, sometimes it is. There is a pineapple in every episode.
So Lasseter and his sister have a nice bonding moment. He's regained her respect. And then Gus... Even though after he had that vision of Lasseter's sister as Lasseter, he's still like, well, maybe you would have solved it if you weren't, you know, focusing on Lasseter's sister. It's like, you got that right.
Horny Gus. It's my favorite.
Horny Gus.
Love Horny Gus. So good. Oh, here's a hot take. I don't think Dulé Hill's wife is a very good actress. And she is now in the Psych universe. And I don't think she's a good actress. But I guess, you know, if you're banging a movie star, you get to be in their movies. I guess that's how it works. Ugh, bummer.
I was just reading, speaking of the early 80s, I'm reading a book on the comedy of the early 80s. Mm-hmm. The Jerk with Steve Martin.
Such a good movie.
He was dating Bernadette Peters at the time.
Oh, I
and
don't think I knew
the reason
that.
He. Yes. Aha! I got you. Yeah, yes. He was dating Bernadette Peters. And he had her in his movie just because he felt comfortable around her.
Yeah.
So that was not that she wasn't a competent actress, but the reason she got the role is because she was dating the star. Mm-hmm. And she did a great job in the movie. But he just felt more comfortable around some people he knew because he was from the world of stand-up, where it's just you. He didn't come from sketch like Belushi and Aykroyd, where you worked in an ensemble cast. So he just hired people that he knew, and he was very comfortable around Bernadette Peters. At the end of the post, when we come back from commercial, if you're watching this on television, it's Lasseter's sister just interviewing all of the psych characters. Yeah. And it's very, very fun. And then and Corbin Bernstein is in there. He's like, Sean's going to go bald. It's it's Hereditary.
I just hope I'm alive to see it.
What did you think of the toupee he had to wear in the flashback scenes in all these episodes?
I think some are much better than others. So I think it depends on how far back they're going. And I think they're better in later seasons, probably just because they have more money. That's my guess. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Major League, though, so I remember
Major League is a good movie.
All of his hair.
Have you now? You hate horror movies, right?
Wait, yeah, they're so scary. I didn't watch Exorcist until this past year. That's why I watched it for the Psych podcast. I was just talking to. I went and saw Oppenheimer, and they have a preview for they're doing another Exorcist movie.
Right.
So I was talking about it, and I was like, I don't know why the hell I decided to watch it last year, but now I remember why. It's because we were doing the Exorcist Psych. Podcast.
Corbin is in a movie called The Dentist, where he plays a psychotic dentist. His wife is having an affair, and he snaps, and he gasses her, and he just fucks up her teeth.
Oh my God.
And there's two of them. Yeah. There's The Dentist and The Dentist Too. So if you ever get the courage to watch, there's two of them out there.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll watch him as a... But also, like, some horror movies are so bad that they're kind of funny.
Yeah, I think that movie would fall into this category. However, I'm weird about teeth, so it might bother me. It's like Marathon Man. Is it safe?
We have a theater here. I live in Boston, and there's a theater here that plays will often come to before they go to Broadway. So they'll be here for 6 or 8 weeks. With a live audience, with all the New York actors and stuff. So I'm very lucky. Sometimes I'll get to see stuff before it goes on Broadway. And I saw 1984, and they do this torture scene where they're pulling out teeth. And there were people that were just, like, getting up and leaving the theater. It was so disgusting. And, like, I know they're not actually pulling this poor man's teeth on stage, but yes, I understand fully. Gross. Man, we have referenced a lot of weird, and by we, I mean me, lot of weird stuff in this episode.
But that's how the episode, and once again, Juliet is like, maybe if you didn't tell me the camera's on, but she's like, I can see the red light.
Yeah,
and,
so good.
And Gus and Sean are like, we can finish each other's sentences. And,
oh, yes. So good. God, it's a
good show. So
good. I think I'm going to start rewatching Psych from the beginning.
And that's it. So what did you think of this? I know, big Psych fan. So was this a good episode?
I mean, if I was doing it like out of 5 pineapples, I would probably give it 3. Not one of like my most favorite or like an incredibly memorable one. This definitely like has a gimmick, but there are other, you know, they're filming the thing. But there are other ones with gimmicks that I like more. Like I wouldn't put this in my top 25 list for sure. So yeah, it's a fine example of a Psych episode, but not one of my favorites. Not terrible, but there you go.
There is really no, I there is really no terrible psych
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, I don't think so either. There's
not one that stands out as being bad. They're all...
They have that one all, that they redid, though, the Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, that they filmed it, and the director was so dissatisfied with it that they did it again a couple years later. So,
oh, yes! That's right. That's right.
So
I remember,
kind of,
yeah.
I kind of want to go back and watch the original and see, like, what I notice. I don't remember what the director was dissatisfied with, but imagine being on a show and being like, man, we could have done that episode better. So you just reshoot it, like, 3 or 4 years later.
And that's something that you would do on... And that's something Psych would definitely... That's a Psych thing right there. Yes.
So it was very... That's very cool, but I don't... Yeah, I can't think of a single episode that I would turn it off. So here's my... We're recording this on a Sunday. It's now afternoon where I am. But that is my Sunday morning routine. I put it on the Hallmark Channel, which shows like 4 hours of Psych reruns on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And I drink coffee and I look at real estate. That's my Sunday morning routine. But what's so funny is some episodes of Psych are like a little too spicy for the Hallmark Channel. So sometimes they bleep stuff out. Like they'll bleep out the word ass or something. And it's so ridiculous and funny.
All right, so that's it. So, Kristen, is there anything that you want to promote?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to be on a couple episodes of season 2 of Julia on HBO. I don't say anything, but I look cool, and I'm in some, like, 60s outfits. Other than that, yeah, I don't have too much going on unless you are looking to hire a theater professional. If you are a person listening to this and you're like, hey, I have a children's theater and I really want to hire an artistic director, give me a call because that's what I would like to do with my life, I've decided.
All right.
That's it. That's so weird. I'm being such a weirdo.
Kristen, thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
One time we will actually do a project that has Dan Aykroyd in it. And we'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
You know what? Maybe if you just don't tell me that it's that the camera's on. Then maybe we can do this.
How long have we been friends?
Oh, wow.
Forever. Since we were babies.
When were we not?
We pooped together.
Well.
Next to each other.
Sean will go bald. It's genetics. He doesn't realize it now, but it's going to happen. I just pray that I'm alive to see it.
It's almost like there's a Vulcan. We can finish each other's sentences.
Right.
For example, as soon as we're done here, we're going to jump in the blueberry right. And...
How could you say I didn't pay any attention to you as a kid? That's ridiculous. What other high school boy would stay up reading their little sister?
You read me my Miranda rights.
I set it up. As soon as we're done here, I'm going to jump.
That's where you're going to leave off?
Scratch this. Forget that.
Oh, it's off? It's on, isn't it? I can see the red light. It's on.
Yeah, I don't know where Gus and I will be in 50 years, but maybe in space. Man never figures out how to travel that far.
Man does travel in space.
He's a sweet kid. I think I'll keep him.
Cross the Streams Media.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
In a not-too-distant suburb, on a very quiet street, Earl Keese, a reserved, hard-working homeowner, sits calmly waiting for his dinner. Little does he know, he's about to meet the neighbors. Ramona.
Hello. What can I do for you?
Anything you like. The question is, what do you want in return?
And Vic.
So,
What do you say, neighbor?
Welcome to the end of the road, I guess.
It's a great house.
Thank you.
I mean mine.
And somehow, his life will never be the same.
Who goes there?
Hi, it's Earl Keyes.
Columbia Pictures presents John Belushi.
I swear to God, Enid, we may have to move. They're very strange people.
Dan Aykroyd. Kathy Moriarty.
Your left ball in the corner pocket.
In Neighbors. Lock the doors.
Hey, Earl, you go to hell. You're not getting back in here.
Neighbors. Rated R.